He was in Glendale for Clemson, dominating the Ohio State University. A lot's happened since we chatted last week. He'll be in Tampa for the national championship game. Online, you can catch his work, usatoday.com. Follow on Twitter. The handle is at George Schroeder. George, a most happy 2017 to you, sir. How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
All is well. All is well. Got dumped a bunch of snow on here, but we're safe and secure. So, Clemson, Ohio State, blowout. It was just, however, it was a 10-point game late in the second half. You wrote about this. So, it was second and long from their own territory, and Deshaun Watson worked his magic. From where you were sitting, whether you could kind of get the feel for momentum, how much of a gut punch was that for the Buckeyes and maybe a confidence builder for the Tigers at the time?
Well, it was just Deshaun Watson being Deshaun Watson. I mean, he's dangerous to do that at any point. He's got that kind of potential, I guess is a better way to say that. And it was definitely a gut punch. You know, three plays later, you know, he throws a nice touchdown pass, and the thing is, and you can tell that this thing is probably over. I mean, it was already pretty apparent that Ohio State was going to struggle to move the football. And they had missed two, you know, field goals, which doesn't help the cause. But even had they gotten them, it was already apparent they were not going to win a shootout, and that if Clemson got going, it was going to be a big problem. And all of a sudden, Clemson got going.
The performance you mentioned of the Ohio State offense, I mean, you looked at them at times this year, and I know some lesser opponents, but 62 points in back-to-back Big Ten games. They did struggle against the Michigan schools the last two, but 9 first downs, 215 total yards. Were you surprised at all that Urban Meyer made change? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry, was I surprised at all?
Yeah, that performance and then the follow-up where they made a change at coordinator.
Yes and no, I think. look, here's the thing. In retrospect, you can look back and you reference the games against Michigan State and Michigan when the offense really didn't perform very well at all, and you can go, huh, there were some issues there. And then they faced a defense that was at least as good as the Michigan defense that they faced. But nobody expected that. I mean, first of all, Urban Meyer had never been shut out in his entire career as a head coach. And, you know, it had been since 1993 that Ohio State had been shut out. I mean, that's an amazing streak in itself.
Sure is.
But, you know, so nobody expected that. But beyond the shutout, just, you know, it was even if had one of those field goals sneaked in, 31-3, it was a complete devastation. And it was a complete domination on both sides of the football by Clemson, and especially with Clemson's defense. I think that surprised people. And the biggest thing is this, the utter lack of ability to mount a downfield passing game, any kind of even a real threat, allowed Clemson to play them, you know, to play the run and play the intermediate pass game very aggressively. And I think that is a problem, whether it's JT Barrett or a lack of downfield threats to throw to. I think it's a combination of both. You know, it's a problem, and they have to address it. And so, in answer to the second part of your question, not very surprised that they made a change in offensive coordinator. Tim Beck, of course, takes the job at Texas, but it's pretty clear there was going to be a change made at Ohio State. And then to bring in Kevin Wilson, you know, if we just stick to the on-the-field stuff and not the reasons that he's suddenly available, having been the Indiana head coach, he has got a reputation as a you know, a big-time offensive coach. You know, his background was as a coordinator, and he coordinated some really good offenses. And one of the things he did well was adapt to the quarterbacks that he had at various times. That's one of his part of his reputation. So that's a really good hire for them.
We're talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. So now we got a rematch after Bama takes down Washington. And while I get everybody has their favorites, but storyline-wise, you know, Clemson and Bama in an unbelievable game last year. So just from that point of view, you like this rematch and the Tigers getting another shot at them?
Yeah, it's what we wanted to see. I mean, look, I think a year ago it's very possible Clemson was a better team, and that Alabama outplayed them and Nick Saban outcoached Dabo Swinney, and that's why they won the game. This year, I think probably Alabama's a better team, but that doesn't guarantee a win any more than it did a year ago. So, I mean, I think Alabama's defense is better than it was a year ago. I think its offense is not as good. I think Clemson's offense potentially is better, And its defense is probably not quite as good, but although it, you know, has put together a couple of really nice performances here late.
You know, sometimes the games don't live up, but I, you know, there seemed to be a consensus heading into bowl season. Beyond the playoff, a lot of people are like, man, can't wait to watch the Orange Bowl and the Rose Bowl. We'll start with the Orange. I mean, with 18 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, they scored 29 points between them, 36 from that moment on. We had an extra point return for a score. I know you watched that game. Man, how fun and entertaining was that game?
It was as good as I'd seen right up until the next game you're going to ask about, which is the Rose Bowl. It was a fantastic game. It was two really good teams playing high-level football. And don't misunderstand, Michigan, despite the loss, was really good this year. They were good enough to be a playoff-caliber team. Florida State was playing well enough by the end of the year to be a playoff-caliber team. Neither of them deserved the playoff or had the resume for the playoff. Michigan was closer. But they were playing well enough to be in the mix. You know, that had they gotten in the mix, they could have done some damage in the playoff. You know, and so it was a fantastic football game. It was a ton of fun to watch. That's when people tell you these games don't matter, I just point to those kinds of games.
No,
it seemed to matter to those guys, and it was a ton of fun to watch, and I think a whole lot of people got into it, whether you were a fan of either team.
George, would I be accurate? We had this conversation last week. I said, when people say the games are meaningless, we know that there's a tangible value to the playoff games. It's a bracket. You get from 4-2-1 in a national champ. But when they say no meaning, it's like, well, what about the fans, the network, the coaches, the players, people who just enjoy college football? It seems kind of short-sighted to be so dismissive when you see packed houses and everybody's so excited about it.
Yeah, and frankly, whether the house is packed or not. I mean, first of all, I would just start with the economics of it. If it didn't work, ESPN wouldn't want to put it on the air, and they would go away.
Right.
And this is part of a larger thing. We're not just talking about the Orange Bowl or the Rose Bowl or the other New Year's Six Bowls when they're not semifinals, not part of the playoff. That's true of the argument of there are too many bowls. Well, okay, if there are too many bowls, some of them will go away. I'm not for that because I'm in favor of more college football, not less. But, you know, just from an economic argument, if you think there are too many, then you need a whole lot of more people to think that way, and then they'll go away. But, yeah, the whole meaningless thing is goofy to me. Look, I do know that sometimes teams are more motivated to play in certain bowls than the other team and less motivated than the other team. That's just the way life is. That's not a new development with the playoff. That's been that way for all time since they first started having bowls. And so, at what point do we declare them meaningful? Is it only meaningful in the playoff? Is it only meaningful if you were in the New Year's Six Bowl? Or is it only meaningful if you're in the tier below that? I mean, where's the meaning? Where does the tier cut off for that? So, I just don't get into those arguments too much.
No, it's ridiculous because if you're enjoying it and you're a fan of the program and, you know, you could be a coach looking to prove your mettle to be a coordinator, it's just, yeah, let's agree that we agree and we don't have to debate it. We continue with George Schroeder. The Rose Bowl was just fantastic. You know, Penn State almost made the playoff. USC finished by game busters. But, you know, whether it's a guy like Marcus Mariota in 2014, A.J. McCarron, these guys were seasoned and experienced when they got to the big stage. What do you make of just the steely nature of Sam Darnold?
Well, we're talking about a redshirt freshman who looks like he's got everything you want in a quarterback, the postmodern quarterback who needs to have some wheels too, right? He's got those. But he's got a big-time arm, and boy, does he have some poise and the ability to make clutch plays. And look, that's not just from the Rose Bowl. We've seen that developing over the course of the season. Once they made the quarterback change in late September, that quickly it was apparent that, wow, this is the guy. And here's the other thing about first of all, let me just say this. I mentioned this about Florida State. The other team, and the team that really people were talking about going into the selection that was playing well enough to play with playoff teams, was USC. And while their defensive performance, once Penn State got going, wouldn't necessarily tell you that, it's pretty clear that is a high-level unit at USC and that they really had it going. And they didn't deserve the playoff. You can't lose a quarter of your football games, I don't care if it was in September or whenever, and get into the playoff. It just doesn't work that way, not when it's a four-team playoff. You've got to win. Ultimately, you've got to have the resume. But man, oh man, did we see why people like them a lot and why people think, wow, that team could play with anybody. And I think that's true. They could have played with anybody. And I think Sam Darnold, along with the typical talent you'll see at USC, set them up to be really good here for the next couple of years.
Sure, the talent level was scary. Obviously, a lot was made of Nick Saban. Did he fire Lane Kiffin? Did they part ways? The timing of it all. But when you think about Lane Kiffin, how he left USC, went then with the Raiders, then Tennessee, now Alabama, and he falls into another head coaching job at the FBS level. I don't know. The term falling up seems to apply. You followed this game for a long, long time. Has anybody quite had the career path of Lane Monty Kiffin?
No, not really. And, you know, what's weird is, I mean, there's no question that it was a firing. They can characterize it as a mutual all they want, and Lane can go on kind of a radio tour and say all sorts of things. But he basically, after he had got a head coaching job and was going to be able to part in a blaze of glory, whether they won or lost in the championship game, instead he got fired a week before the championship game. It's the worst possible look for him. And, you know, and injects, by the way, a giant amount of uncertainty into what Alabama's going to be able to do on offense against the best defense it will have played. They just finished struggling against the best defense they played so far in Washington.
Right.
And so it injects a large amount of uncertainty into that. And so, therefore, he looks bad. I mean, it really makes it look like all those questions about maturity and is Lane going to be Lane or is he grown up or blah, blah, blah. It looks like there's your answer right there. He gets fired 1 week before the biggest game of the season for this program, and nobody's firing you 1 week before the biggest game unless it's really something they feel like needs to be done, and that tells you bad things about Lane Kiffin.
I can't wait for the movie. Let's wrap with this. All year we get the top 25, then they start talking about what's the best conference. You look at the SEC, very strange. Alabama unbeaten. Every other team lost at least four games. Good trio in the Pac-10. Pac-12, good trio in the Big Ten. But man, when you look at Clemson, Florida State, how they did in the bowl games against the big boys, how strong all of a sudden is the case that the ACC was the best league this year?
Well, I think the case is big time, regardless of what happens in the title game. Especially if Clemson wins the title, then to me it caps it off completely. But, you know, the question was Big Ten all year. I think we've accepted around the country that the SEC is clearly down this year.
Right.
That doesn't mean Alabama's not fantastic. SEC's bowl performance is currently 6-6, so they could be 6-7 or 7-6, depending on what Alabama does, kind of bears that out. The ACC is 8-3 with Clemson left to play Alabama. So they could be 9-3 or 8-4. But they were 9-6 in the actual regular season non-conference. They're 3-1 against the SEC in bowls, and they have a winning record against, I think it's even more than that. I have to go look it up, but it's even more than that in the when it comes to the regular season, and they really have there's no question to me that they're the best. That they were the best league. They're very, very deep. They were 9-4 against the SEC on the season, the entire season.
Right.
I mean, it's a deep league, and it's not just the two or three teams, depending on how you look at it at the top. I mean, Louisville faded and lost their bowl game, so to LSU. But I don't think there's any question, and it's hard to wrap our minds around that, because first you think the SEC is this and the ACC is a basketball league, and then you think, hey, maybe it's the Big Ten, and then they drop in bowl season, they go 3-7 or whatever it was. That, by the way, is a little bit deceiving, because Penn State easily could have won. Michigan
right.
easily could have won. They played high-level games against high-level competition, and it's one of those games where you could reverse the outcome and nobody would have sniffed a bit. But I think you have to look around at the end of the 2016 season, and regardless of what happens in the title game, you have to say the best conference is the ACC. I don't think there's any question about it.
No, I just thought it was interesting that once the dust settled, it was like, oh, all the talks we've been having all year,
right,
all of a sudden we kind of had to do a little bit of a pivot.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I just think it's an interesting – I mean, it's hard to wrap your mind around that, because the ACC gets talked about as a basketball league, and you laugh at their football, but they had a bunch of good football being played there. In a vacuum with the – with the SEC going down, I mean, the ACC is the one that actually took more advantage of it than the Big Ten did.
Well, we will find out, because there's one more pretty big game left. You could follow our guest on Twitter, at George Schroeder, USAtoday.com online. You travel safe to and fro Tampa and enjoy what I think is going to be a dandy. George, always my pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Same here. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Take it easy.